YAPOET, the king of Las Vegas, and you can find me at Chatters That Matter. Let's talk about it.
Hey, 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 you know me. It's Dr. Cheryl Bryan-Bruce, MD, and you are here back with another episode of Chatters That Matter. Let's talk about it. I am still in the beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. It is Super Bowl weekend, and I have the pleasure of being here in the home of my brother, Mr. Las Vegas. And so I am in the company of a lot of very, very interesting guests. And one of those amazing guests that we have is a Las Vegas native. This is Ernest Y-A-P-O-E-T. Pleased to have you here. And this, you know, I mean, obviously it's an exciting weekend. We just finished watching the Usher concert. Basically, not the Super Bowl game. That was the Usher concert. The Super Bowl was an all-star run. Usher did that, and we represented Las Vegas.
He is one of the most impactful icons that we have. And for him to put on that show, he definitely brought the A to Vegas.
He sure did. They did that then.
Yes.
So, talking about bringing the A to Vegas, tell me what you're doing here in Vegas, because this is not just your kind of town, but in it, you are an icon of your own. So tell me about.
I am recording and documenting history on the Vegas. The unseen, the untold. Vegas is known for a lot of things. If you look at our history and our scale, but if you think about Black culture, you don't put Vegas in that same proximity, like you would put like Atlanta or Texas, you know, or Detroit or Chicago, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's me putting Black excellence on the map, Black business on the map. So when you do come to Vegas, you don't have a representative that you can come and be shot a bit to.
Absolutely.
So on one side, I have been doing the entertainment side,
yes,
which is the music, the visuals, and on the other side, I have been doing the business side to attach the visual and the music to something.
Yes.
So this and music is you're selling something.
Mm-hmm.
So it only goes hand in hand to do business and production at the same time. So I've been marrying those two things in Vegas, resources, and
right. Did you originally get into?
Originally, I have been into the art, theater since I was in elementary school. Been to plays. My father, he used to put me in competitions. So I got over that shyness at a young age. So I would honestly say it's just my repetition of me just being in the theater, the
right.
art of Vegas part, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I've always been very curious, but what kept me out of trouble was drawing. I was an artist, so, you know, I wanted to go to Las Vegas Academy when I was growing up. I actually applied, but I wasn't able to make the cut.
Competition was still?
Well, you know, parents. My father, you know, he wasn't showing up and taking me to my appointments. So I never got a chance to slip out that side.
Mm-hmm.
But later on in life, I developed a business sense on how to make money with my art and
And then at some point in time, you kind of redirected into this whole hip hop.
Well, hip hop was a voice for me. You know, the art was my eyes. You know, I could always show you something, but I never had the voice, and hip hop gave me a voice. So me dealing with hip hop was me having a friend that was an MC, and I like beatboxing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I got some rhythm to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Dance. So me not knowing the elements of hip hop, which is b-boying, which is DJing, which is MCing, and which is graffiti slash writing. Those four elements on and essentially is knowledge. I was already doing hip hop.
Okay.
I just didn't know it. Some form of fashion.
Right.
So my best friend, rest in peace, Cody Hunter in high school. He was my influence. He was the first guy that was like, yeah, man, you dope. You know, so that's why I started developing freestyles and being in the streets and just dealing with the street aspect of it.
Did you feel that?
I was terrible. Compared to, you know, him and everybody I was growing up against, I didn't develop myself until I got out of prison. A lot of people, you know, that statistics say that, you know, out of three of us, you know, one of us is going to be in jail, prison, or dead.
Right.
I just thank the Lord that he imprisoned me so I could get it right. So in that time of being in prison, it was two things I was doing, studying my Bible and writing poetry. And those two.
Is that YA book?
That's YA
book. There you go.
So I developed God's poet in the penitentiary.
Okay.
And that's where I remember the idea that I have to be speaking for my people, be speaking for myself.
That's so works.
I developed my voice.
So would you say that in a sense hip-hop kind of saved you and poetry, your whole being able to develop a voice shifted who you were?
The elements that this art brought is the elements that I use to this day. My slogan is, I don't pay to party, I get paid to party.
Okay.
You know, me being born in Vegas, when the teachers asked me, what you want to do when you grow up? I said, I want to get paid to party. Okay. They thought I was crazy.
And look at you now. Who was crazy?
You know what I'm saying? But hip-hop is definitely the top of the food chain when it comes down to genre.
Yeah.
But I am a classical jazz. I love R&B, of course. I love country. I love reggae. I love.
So you're just a music match.
Yes. I love the art. Beethoven, I will listen to some elevator music. You know? So hip hop is definitely one of my savings.
What would you say is that has basically taken hold of the world? I mean, of all the genres out there, hip hop is really the most popular. It crosses ages, it's crossing cultures, it's crossing continents, it's all around the world now. Folks who can't speak English are doing hip hop and rap.
The freedom of speech that is. When you're able to take something from nothing and you're actually able to entertain.
Right.
It's entertainment. You know what I'm saying? When an artist draws something and puts a piece, that's the entertaining piece you're actually looking at and studying. When you're looking at a dancer, you know, dance, just entertaining. It's something that can be sold.
Right.
So, for one, it was cultivated by people that had nothing and turned that into something. So, that's another reason why it spread the way it did, because anything, like, kind of like rock and roll, you know what I'm saying? When rock and roll or classical music was first introduced, it wasn't introduced by the masses, it was introduced by the urbans.
That's right. I think there's a certain accessibility to many other genres of music. Tools, instruments, you've got to respond. This, you can embrace whoever you are. You know, a young kid that's a latchkey kid in his home, doesn't have much but a dream. You know, embrace that. And it can transport him to another place and give him a larger dream. Now, he may not ever be a hip hop or a rap artist or a DJ or anything of that nature, but it can give him that confidence to look himself out of whatever place that he's in. And at the same time, you've got these kids that are locked into upper class environment that feel isolated, that feel like nobody sees them, nobody hears them, they have tons of money, but nobody cares. And they're able to embrace hip hop and internalize and to connect with their feelings and develop that confidence and relatability. There's something magical about that. There is not.
The energy of even you rehearsing these, reciting these poems.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because these stories are so impactful. When hip hop first started off, you gotta understand, it was revolutionary. It wasn't to be sold. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a voice for the people. So when it came out, it was a voice that was raw. It was as raw as you could get it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So with me, that's kind of like where I want to go back to, the Motown direction and bringing the soul back to it. So when Vegas do get put on for its music, it's not what you think. It's not the gangster, it's not the pimping, it's not the flashy, it's what made hip hop what it was, which was revolutionary, which was the voice. Vegas is a very independent state. People can come here and be very independent and rely on themselves because there's so many different resources and outlets for you to network and socialize. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, for that, hip hop is going to continue to grow. And as you see, it keeps on breaking genres because every music, I feel, brings another genre of music.
Absolutely.
So now we have Afro beats coming to take over the world.
Yeah. Afro beats is fun.
Yes.
Afro beats.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you can feel it growing and developing. And I mean, it's kind of a grassroots thing. The grassroots things, they grow, they change, they morph, they pick the people. And with each generation, it has a different shape. And I feel that with hip hop, each generation is changing the shape. But I do agree. I do want to see that Motown thing coming back. And it is coming back. I mean, we're getting artists like October London, who is there to calling him the rebirth of Marvin. And oh my God, it sounds so good. How's that feel? I'm in love with Long Island Drive. So just meeting artists like this that are putting out this wonderful music that's been a while there, is feeling like this music was going to die. This over to generation because there wasn't anything coming back out. But here it is from the ground again. It's old, but it is something new, fresh. It still has that deep connection.
Deep roots. You can't cut the roots off. And you have to thank the internet.
Yes.
Because if it wasn't for the internet, you would have gay people that would prevent this type of sound and music to make its own way, make its own lot of things broadcast to this world. And that's why it's important for us to understand that. I mean, I'm an older school guy. You know, I remember when we had CDs.
He's still a baby. I remember when we had 8-tracks.
And it was on 2007. You know what I'm saying? It's only like 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago, we had CDs, right? But that transformation of even the older guys learning the new technology, because right now what's happening is a transfer of information is being dumped into the internet at a high speed where we can't even, you know what I'm saying? Like,
keep up with it anymore.
It's so many new movies, and on top of the old ones that still get reintroduced. So, you know, I would say at the end of the day, you know, take your time, choose wisely, and use the internet for good. You know what I'm saying? Like, teach the kids, you know, that this is a powerful tool.
And it can be a dangerous tool if you're not careful.
Yes. So, you know, I know you want to talk about mental health. And a lot of that plays into the music that we're listening to. You know,
in the background, we have some people.
Super Bowl is going down right now.
Was that 49ers?
Who win it?
Who's winning? All the money. We didn't have to do that. 49ers fan of the house. Hey, what can I say? We are going to take this game.
Go Niners.
So, you're talking about mental health. Obviously, there's good mental health going on.
Mental health to me is one of the things that got me back on the track. Even got me back on wanting to present a healthy and clean environment when it comes down to the events that I put on, the music that I'm presenting. What am I promoting? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, music nowadays is selling something. Yes. So you got to be very careful of what you listen to because you don't know what they sell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even Usher was selling something on that stage.
He was selling on that stage. I really enjoyed that show.
Because he took his shirt off, and you know what I'm saying? He had a reaction like, I can only imagine.
Yeah, we lost it.
I can only imagine. But that's the power. Yeah. That's the beauty of what we're doing. I think it was 2016 when we started taking a lot more seriously.
Right.
And that's because of the discovery of a doctor by the name of Sadie.
Dr. Sadie,
aka my health teacher. Him, Clyde Anderson, Dr. Umar. I was rocking with my brother Polite, but you know, get my brother out of jail, whatever he's bad, free that man.
Well, Dr. Sadie was doing time too.
Yes, he was.
Dr. Sabi was doing time too. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Sabi is some of the healers that he's talking about. These are people who are working in a natural, holistic healing, and they are coming for the treatments and even cures for some of the diseases. Dr. Sabi had a natural treatment and cure for AIDS. He claimed a cure for AIDS. And was taken before the House of Senate Congress, questioned him. They were trying to charge him. He actually went to jail for a while, and they challenged him. And he was able to show categorically with real life examples and with real data that indeed these treatments that he was claiming as cures and treatments were effective. Now, Dr. Sabi ended up in jail, and Dr. Sabi died in jail under suspicious circumstances. They claimed it was a disease, I believe it was a pneumonia, but the circumstances were quite suspicious. And of course, if you have natural cures for diseases like AIDS, that takes a lot of money out of pockets of big pharma. We are going to leave that where it lies, because you know, I want to keep this show on the air and I don't want to be censored, and I do have a medical degree that I have to protect. So we're going to keep that live, and I just challenge you, Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I, go read about it, educate yourself. This is Black History Month. Dr. Sebi is definitely a part of our Black history. So go educate yourself and understand that there are things out there with science from schools that can help you live a healthy life. Health is wealth. You are your greatest asset. So you need to invest in yourself, and that first investment is to educate yourself, inform yourself about things other than what is being handed to you. You know, be your own investigator. So I'm really pleased to hear that you were acquainted with Dr. Sebi and a lot of these fields. So tell me more about that.
It all started, of course, with my Bible. But me wanting to know more, God said, okay, I gave you the basic instructions. Now I'm going to give you some more instructions that ain't in the Bible. And I asked him to show me the descendants, the leaders, the preachers,
the mentors,
the disciples that are still living and testimony. Mm-hmm. And I had a kiosk at Town Square, and I was selling waters and all kind of, you know, fruits and vegetables. And, you know, one of the Rasta brothers, you know, we was chopping it up, and I was trying to give him a water because we was talking. So I was like, yeah, that's the best water I got. I was going to take it for free, like, to sign it. He was like, brother, read it later. I was like, yeah, got whoopee. Do you know what that is? I was like, no. So he started breaking it down, and I was like, whoa, why the hell are they sellers? And
you have to read your labels.
So, well, they told you what it was, so, you know, really, it's up to you to buy the drink. So, from there on out, you know, I started researching Dr. Sebi, but previously to him, I was watching a documentary called Hidden Colors.
Yes.
With my brothers talking about, you know, the motherland, Kush, you know, Kushites. And so it just took me on this whole path of ancestry, healing myself mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I had to do a detox. I started detoxing. I started eating less meat. I started eating less sugar. I started drinking more water. And what I learned was, in a short amount of time, when I used to take like these naps, like I'm 29 years old, I should be taking grandfather naps. Like, you know what I'm saying? So my energy was gone. But when I started detoxing, I started gaining my momentum and my energy back. And, you know, I used to drink them energy drinks and a lot of coffees and having a lot of milk products in me. Man, I was sluggish all the time.
That's right.
So, you know, for me to find Dr. Sebi and start immediately re-healing myself, I had to put it in the music. So I made an album called Fever.
Okay.
2016, and I had a scarf over my face with two temple guardians on the side of me, because I didn't know something was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. But 4 years later, the COVID-19 hit, and everybody called a fever.
Right.
So, right. And I'm sitting talking about Dr. Sebi in 2016 before he passed.
That's right.
So, you know, I was on the knowledge because, you know, God was preparing me for what was to come.
You're being guided.
Yes.
You're being guided. And I mean, there was a shift in 2016. There was an energetic shift. And I think a lot of us felt, internally, we felt that shift, and we felt the need to do something very, very different. We didn't know what was coming down the line, but we felt that something big and threatening was coming down the line, and we needed to prepare ourselves for the battlefield. And, you know, I as I speak to people, I hear a lot of people that really identify that 2016 point and as I'm talking to different artists and, you know, different people across the board, I'm hearing this reverberating sound of, I made this shift in my wellness and cleansing myself, cleansing my soul, my mind, my body, my spirit. Cleansing. And I think that we're still in the middle of that battlefield. I mean, I don't think that we need to think. I think that we're really in the middle of the battle now.
Yep.
And we're recruiting more and more soldiers for help and wellness, because we have to have that strong support. We have to be healthy on all fronts. It's not enough to just be healthy. It's not enough to just be mentally healthy. We've got to be healthy on every realm: emotional, mental, physical, financial, your social, your spiritual. We have to be healthy all across the board. So I applaud you for this journey that you're on.
Thank you. As we continue to push the subject, as we continue to push the envelope, we have to turn to our government officials, we have to turn to our leaders, and we have to not depend on them, but let them go.
Right.
We have to let them go. And we have to go back to using our hands. Because once you do cleanse your mind, body, and spirit, it's time to put in work. Well and long overdue work with these hands to manufacture and put something on the table that God has presented for us. My people have not put in enough sweat and tears into building their own industries. It is our time to mentally and physically raise above the nonsense. We are no longer on nobody's plantation unless you want to be. Now, I know it's scary getting off that lot, but you see us African Americans are walking and talking upright, and we're riding horses again, okay, that we own, okay? Can't nobody tell us what we can't do anymore but ourselves. So the first thing, once you cleanse yourself, your mind, body, and spirit, is to get yourself back to work and start creating things to manufacture, to be able to sell, to have exchanges of goods and services. That dollar means nothing, because if you really want to pay me, pay me in gold.
There you go. Let's talk about that. Everybody's talking about getting paid, making that bank, that money. That money is not worth the paper that it's printed on, okay? So we have to start dealing with things like gold and land. Now, I don't care what anybody says, land, that's not the thing to invest in. I'm sorry, but land is something that is a solid, tangible. We have to have that. You have to have a place to live. And as far as investing, the most valuable land is that land sitting around the East Coast. Why? Because there's a very finite amount of it. You own property on that one. That property will always have value. Always have value. So we need to start taking advantage buying those properties. If we have a property, I don't care if we have a little shack on the corner in the ward, that little piece of a corner in the ward is yours, and it has value. And guess what? When you sell it for a crumb, you know what they did with the Indians and those beads? You sell it for a crumb, they are going to turn around and you won't be able to buy it back, because they are going to assign it a value significantly higher than what you gave them away for. So we can't keep giving ours away. We've got to hold on to it. It's our generational wealth. You pass your property. You pass your property. Just pay those property taxes and pass that property.
and do something with the property. Like when I was saying stop relying on them, I mean we got food deserts, right? In my neighborhood, you know how hard it is to find something green on these corner stores, but yeah. They got the liquor. They got that liquor back there.
The liquor stores are all in our neighborhoods.
So why aren't we growing? Like, we got millionaires too, right? All these super celebrities. Why I hear them talking about farms and producing things that we need? Mm-hmm. Like I said,
right.
There's only so many cola lines and so many makeup companies that we can actually have.
While we all need soap, we gotta buy things more than soap. So, you know, it's nice to have your African black soap, but there are a whole lot of other products that we need. And we need to buy them from ourselves.
I need three. My roof over my head, water, and food in my belly. Anything else is man-made. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to show my man, my women, that we are no longer surviving. We're actually thriving, because if you can take care of those three basic necessities, that is called thriving. You are no longer in survival mode. You have to take care of that. Now, anything else, ladies and gentlemen, that's yourself. That's what you want.
That's icing on
the cake. Icing on the cake. So, mental wellness has to do with us not only just dealing with the junk that's in our head, but the junk that's in our bed, in our storage, too many shoes. I can go on. No, that I'm becoming a minimalist.
Yeah, that's interesting, because as you age, as you mature, you do become more and more of a minimalist, because you realize that there's less and less that you need, and you really get a sense of what's important. You know what really has value. Like you said, food, water, shelter, and the relationships that you build. You know, it's all about those relationships. Love is the only thing you can take with you. You can enter the world with love. You can take it out. You can leave it behind. It's really important. So there it is. And we kind of go around the world.
Yes.
And I think we've covered a lot of bases.
I think you do too.
So it has been a pleasure having you and hearing what you're doing here. If people want to get in touch with you,
okay, hit me up on the phone, 725-270-2397, or you can hit me up on my website, that's lvculture.net, that's lvculture.net. Hit me up anytime, mahalo.
Okay, and you're on social media?
Yes, all platforms, at YAPOET, that's Yapo.
Okay, so go ahead, link with him, drop a message, share with your friends, and
subscribe,
and you know, follow what he's doing, and support, especially for those of you in Vegas. You have a thriving culture here that a lot of people don't even recognize exists. The Black culture in Vegas is strong. So if you haven't made some of these connections, I mean, this week we have interviewed Quips, who's running for councilman. We have interviewed Minister Stretch Sanders, and we're here interviewing YA Cohen. So, I mean, you know, you've got some great folks.
That's a three hit.
Trifecta. Hey, I'm not playing. I am not out here playing on this show.
All three of us know each other, too, so
That's right. That's right. So we're all connected by the wonderful Kirby. All right, then. And, you know, as always, I do want to give a shout out to my talent manager, Mr. Rick. Yeah, I guess we've changed his name. It's Ricky Aaron, but it is now Richard Aaron. So my talent manager, Ricky Aaron, is out there. He's also on the ground, boots on the ground here in Vegas this week. And a shout out to my boy there in the New York, New Jersey area, our wonderful producer, Hisham Elamati, Hurricane H. You have been listening to Chatters That Matter, and I am your show host, Dr. Cheryl Bryant-Bruce, MD, the celebrity doc. Please come again next week, Monday, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are here every week to educate, inform, and entertain. And our motto is, health is wealth. You are your greatest asset. Invest in yourself. Thank you for joining us. Like, connect, share, and by all means, benefit from everything that we share, and we want you to throw some down. Have a great week. Y-A-Points.